For more information on Ancient Dragon Zen Gate, please visit our website at www.ancientdragon.org. Our teachings are offered to the community through the generosity of our supporters. To make a donation online, please visit our website.
I think just without further ado, Taigen, our emeritus guiding teacher, who was our guiding teacher for forever in the life of the dragon, is going to offer the Dharma talk today after what I've heard was a wonderful seminar yesterday on Dogen's great fascicle, Gakyo, Thinking of a Rice Cake. Is that? Would you like to pronounce it?
Sure.
Okay. So, Taigen.
Okay, thank you.
Take it away.
Thank you so much, Ogetsu. And welcome, everyone. And so, yesterday I did a 2.5-hour online seminar here at Ancient Dragon on an essay or fascicle from Dogen, from his Shōpo Genzo, True Dharma High Treasury, massive work. And so first I should, for new people, just to say who Dogen is. He was the founder of this branch of Zen, which we now call Soto Zen, who brought it from China to Japan. He was a Japanese monk who went to Japan for 4 years and brought back this lineage, and wrote voluminously, and we often talk about his writing. So in Zen we do, you know, the focus of Zen is Zazen, this seated meditation, upright sitting, enjoying our inhale and exhale, facing the wall, facing ourselves, letting the wall see us. But also we talk about these old teaching stories, sometimes called koans, that are a great treasure for our tradition, many old teaching stories. And Dogen wrote about them in various places. And so the teaching I did yesterday online was about one of these essays, which goes back to one of the stories of one of the great ancient masters in China. So this tradition Dogen brought to Japan, and my teacher's teacher, Shunryu Suzuki Roshi, brought to San Francisco in the 60s. And now here we are in Chicago, and there are people online from New Mexico and maybe other places, Michigan, I see. So here we are, and Dogen does this essay in Shōpo Genzo that I talked about yesterday extensively, and I'll just, you know, have brief highlights of today. It's based on an old story. And there's an introduction to his essay, which I talked about at length yesterday at the beginning, which celebrates the influence of one of the branches of Chinese Buddhism, Huayan, from the flower ornament of the Tansaka Sutra. I talked about it at the beginning yesterday. Hopefully there'll be time to talk about it at the end today. But I want to start with the basic story. So Dogen says in his essay, an ancient Buddha said, a painting of a rice cake does not satisfy hunger. And this is, he doesn't name him in the Shōpo Genzo essay, but this is Shangyan Kyōgen in Japanese, who died in 898. So, you know, we have this long time span of the teaching that we refer to. And this is an important thing for us today, to have a wide, deep time span in which to consider how we are sitting Zazen, how we are practicing. Dogen elsewhere says to study the ways, to study the self. So for newcomers, welcome, welcome. And glad to meet you all. And part of what's difficult about this practice is not getting your legs into some funny position, and that might be difficult. and sitting for long periods, there's some physical pain, but actually to see all the thoughts and feelings that arise in Zazen, and the point of this practice is not to get rid of those, but to really digest them, cut through them, not be caught by, go beyond all of our stuff. Is that a modern psychological term?
They taught me in grad school. Go beyond your stuff.
Yes, right. Okay, so, I want to get to this story, though, first. So, in the essay that I will talk more about, Dogen quotes this teacher, Shangyan, the painting of a rice cake does not satisfy hunger. And the story about that, okay, I'll just read the story. And this, I'm going to read the story from a different massive work of Dogen called Eihoroku, Dogen's extensive record, which I translated with Shohaku Okumura. And one little excerpt of one talk that Dogen gives in that work. He says, when Master Shangyan had passed a number of years in the circle in the assembly of Guishan, Guishan said to him, and Guishan, who was Shangyan's teacher, is very important in the history of Chinese Zen, or Chan it's called. He's the founder of one of the five houses or lineages in Chinese Zen. And for those of you who are new or have been here, been around a long while, there will not be a test. It's okay if you don't remember anything I say, or any of these names, or any of that. The point of studying the Dharma, the teaching, teaching these teaching stories, is simply to support our practice, to support our uprightness as we sit facing the wall and as we get up and go out into the busy world. But that's part of this, of how Dogen responds to the story. So again, Shangyan, Kyogen, was a student of Guishan, and Guishan said to him, after you've been there a little while, other than what you remember from commentaries or have heard from the sermons of this old monk, bring me a single utterance. Some versions say something from before your parents were born. And Shangyan was very well read, as well known. He had studied many commentaries, and Zen is supposed to be a teaching beyond mind and words, but we're beyond words and letters. And interestingly, there's huge libraries of words and letters and books and commentaries about these old teachings and commentaries and those commentaries. Anyway, Shangyan has studied a lot of this. And when Guishan asked him that, say something that goes beyond, you know, your commentaries, that goes beyond before your parents were born, Guishan said, I don't refuse to speak, except that, he said, Shangyan said to Guishan, I'm unable to speak. He was speechless. I ask you to say it, to tell me, Master. And Guishan said, I don't refuse to speak for you, except that later you would scold me. So Shangyan said, in this present lifetime, I no longer expect to understand Zen. And some of you may feel that. For restoration, I will become a monk who just serves food. So, you know, when we have longer sittings, we have servers who come around in the meditation hall and serve meals, and we take meals formally in the meditation hall. So basically, Shangyan was saying, well, I'm not going to study all these teachings anymore. I'm not even going to sit zazen. I'll just serve food for the monks. And he said, a painting of a rice cake does not satisfy hunger. And then he burnt all his books, because none of his commentaries provided him with a response to Guishan's question. So, you know, I don't recommend book burning, and we're not up to that yet in our culture, although now we're doing book banning, and banning books from our curriculums, and even wonderful books like Beloved by Toni Morrison, one of my three favorite novels. But of course, it mentions racism and slavery, and we're not supposed to talk about that anymore, according to the powers that be. Anyway, So, Ashanyan burned all his books. And then later he traveled to the site of the former hermitage of the national teacher, Nanyang, who's a significant figure in early Chan. And he built a hut there and stayed and took care of the memorial space. And so there's a few different stories about this guy, Shanyan. He's not one of the people we talk about most, but one day he was sweeping the path, and as he swept, a pebble jumped up and hit against some bamboo and made a sound. I won't try and imitate it because I don't know. But anyway, with that sound, Shanyan suddenly became clear. And he wrote a verse, saying, when one, with one blow, subject and object vanish, which is important to this story. I no longer practice to solve things on my own. In all my activities, I celebrate the ancient path and do not fall into passivity. So that's important. This sitting zazen may seem like it's just some passive, settling, calm, quiet. It is that, but it's also attentive. So while you're sitting, pay attention to thoughts and feelings that come up. But it doesn't mean you have to think about them. Just don't try and get rid of your thoughts and feelings. Don't try and be, you know, just calm and quiet. That's not the point of our practice. That's not the goal. The goal is not to get rid of all your thoughts and feelings, but how to sit through it all and be awake. Awakening is the point. So, after that, writing that verse, Huishan bathed, dressed in a formal manner, and faced in the distance towards Huishan, where Huishan was. I think Huishan had passed away by then. Shanyan made prostrations to Huishan and said, "Great Master Huishan, as my excellent teacher, my gratitude surpasses that to my father and mother, a gratitude to you. If Huishan had spoken for me at that time, how could I have had today's experience?" Okay, so that's the basic story, the version of it in the extensive record that Dogen is talking about in this Shogo Genzo essay, "Painting in Rice Cake Does Not Satisfy Hunger." And Dogen, in many of his essays and writings, undercuts usual perspectives on stories and on our way, usual way of thinking, our subject-object way of thinking. So he does so in this essay very much so. He says, a little further down from saying the story, "However, to think this statement means that skillful teachings are useless is a great mistake. This is not the authentic transmission of the ancestors' teaching." So Dogen emphasized in our tradition, and particularly the branch of Soto Zen that Suzuki Roshi brought to California, does not dismiss study of these old stories and of the sutras, the scriptures, the words of the Buddha that go back 2,500 years. We do study these texts and these stories and use these stories to awaken ourselves. But the point isn't to get some understanding of these. It's okay if you don't understand. The point is, how do these stories support you to practice, support each of us to face the wall, face our lives uprightly? So, in many of his writings, Dogen undercuts the usual way of seeing these kinds of teachings. So the story, the saying is, "A painted rice cake does not satisfy hunger," and usually this has been taken as, well, you know, paintings or stories or whatever of reality don't take care of our hunger and desire, don't satisfy us. And some people have said that traditionally that means not to study these, and Dogen strongly disagrees with that. And there's a whole lot in this long essay that I'm not going to get to, but Dogen says, for example, know that a painted rice cake is your face after your parents were born and your face before your parents were born. Just a painted rice cake. Although it's neither born nor unborn, the moment when a painted rice cake is made, it's made of rice flour. And that's the moment of actualizing the way. That's awakening. Do not see this moment as affected by a limited view that a painted rice cake comes and goes. And he goes on to say, the paints for painting rice cake are the same as those used for painting mountains and waters. For painting mountains and waters, blue and red paints are used. And later on, and a little further down, he says, for painting mountains, rocks and stones and trees and streams are used. For painting rice cakes, rice flour is used. And he talks about this painting. He says, painted rice cakes spoken of here means that sesame rice cakes, herb rice cakes, milk rice cakes, toasted rice cakes, millet rice cakes, and the like are all actualized in the painting. So the painting is important. Our practice is to paint a rice cake. And Dogen is refuting the idea that a painted rice cake is not the real thing. Paint the real thing. What is the real thing? It's not Coca-Cola. But how do we see that the painting and doing the painting, painting is a verb. So in Japanese, you can make any noun into a verb easily. So painting rice cakes is what we do when we're doing sitting zazen. Painting rice cakes and various other things. And I'm gonna cut to the chase and go to the end of this. Well, okay, a little bit more of this. It's a long essay, but when mountains and waters are painted, blue, green, and red paints are used. Strange rocks and wondrous stones are used. The four jewels and the seven treasures are used. Rice cakes are painted in the same manner. When a person is painted, the four great elements, earth, water, fire, air, and the five skandhas, the five aspects of what a human being is that are mentioned in the Heart Sutra, one of the chants that we do most often, forms, feelings, perceptions, and formations, and consciousness are all that makes up what a person is, it says in traditional Buddhism. So he's saying here that these five are used to paint a person. When a Buddha is painted, not only a clay altar or a lump of earth is used to make a Buddha like wood, like the Buddha in the center, in the front of this meditation hall. There's 32 marks, a blade of grass, cultivating a wisdom for incalculable eons are used to make a Buddha. As a Buddha has been painted on a single scroll in this way, all Buddhas are painted Buddhas. So on the scroll on the left, which is a wonderful scroll from the Pure Land tradition, there's Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, and they're depicted. And those are, you might say, those are just painted Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. Bodhisattvas are awakening beings who help keep the teaching alive and awaken beings and relieve suffering in this world. And that's what we're all doing here. Even if you're here for the first time, you're doing Bodhisattva practice. Bodhisattva means awakening beings. So beings that are awakening other beings. We practice this is not merely a self-help practice. We don't practice just for ourselves, we practice for all beings in this tradition. So as a Buddha has been painted on a single scroll in this way, all Buddhas are painted Buddhas. And all painted Buddhas are actual Buddhas. So if you think just a picture of a Buddha is just a picture, you're missing the point completely. We're all painted Buddhas. So he says, when you penetrate this matter, the coming and going of birth and death is a painting. So our lives and the end of our lives are paintings. Unsurpassed awakening is a painting. the entire universe and the open sky are nothing but a painting. So Dogen is turning inside out this usual conventional meaning of this story, that only that a painted rice cake does not satisfy hunger. And he goes further. Well, he keeps talking about how paintings are real. If you say a painting is not real, then the myriad things are not real. All of the beings in the universe, each of us as people, and dogs and cats and fish and birds and trees and lakes and hills and mountains, are nothing but a painting, Dogen is saying. So motion and stillness are nothing but a painting. Only endeavor, our endeavor, our effort, at this moment is brought forth entirely from a painting. So again, if you say a painting is not real, then the myriad things are not real. If the myriad things are not real, then Buddha Dharma, the Buddha's teaching, is not real. But since the Buddha teaching is real, a painted rice cake is real. So he's undoing our conventional way of thinking about reality itself. And I'll just mention that in one place in this essay, he talks about how some moment of awakening is not awakening. It's not just something that happens as a result of some particular experience, you know, which are just talked about in these stories. So, this sentence about that. As emancipation is not a matter of time, it is not concerned with a discussion of a certain moment or instant. So it's not so when Shangyan heard the pebble hit the bamboo, he did have a kind of opening experience, and that happens. That happens in our life, that happens in Zazen, it happens when we're walking around, it happens when we're sleeping, when we're doing all kinds of things. Those experiences happen, but that's not the point. So some branches of Zen even think that the goal of our practice is to have some fancy experience. That's not the point Dogen is saying here very strongly. Okay, the punchline. The final point that Dogen makes at the end of this long essay, where he's talking about how our practice is about painting rice cakes and other things, and painting ourselves and painting each other and painting awakening and actually awakening as a painting. He says, there is no remedy for satisfying hunger other than a painted rice cake. Only a painted rice cake can satisfy hunger. So the original saying from Shangyan was a painted rice cake does not satisfy hunger. And he burned all his books. But Dogen says, no, the only way to satisfy hunger is through a painted rice cake. Without painted hunger, you never become a true person. There is no other understanding besides painted satisfaction. So he talks about painted rice cake cannot satisfy hunger, and then he talks about painted satisfaction and painted hunger. In fact, satisfying hunger, satisfying beyond hunger, not satisfying hunger, and not satisfying beyond hunger cannot be attained or spoken of without painted hunger. So this is like a core teaching of Buddhism, that suffering arises because of desires, because of hunger, because of yearning, because of grasping after objects of desire. And, you know, we're trained in our society to do that. You know, we see painted advertisements on TV and on signs, and we're supposed to satisfy ourselves and satisfy our desires and satisfy our hunger by getting these painted objects of desire. But actually, this is just painted hunger. And we get beyond that through painted satisfaction. So that's a very, very brief summary of what Dogen says in this long essay. So he talks about actualizing the painting of awakening. It's all a painting. And it's all painting. It's all the activity of painting. So yesterday in a long seminar, we talked about the role of art and music and poetry in our practice. And that's a controversial topic because people think that, you know, we should be focusing on, that practice means focusing on studying ourselves and sitting upright in Zazen, which is important. It is the central practice, and studying these old teachings. But we should be painting awakening. Dogen is saying we should actualize the painting of awakening. So if we think that there's reality and then there's only a painting of reality, that misses the point completely. So I talked in a last month in a seminar and talk here about another essay by Dogen where he talks about expressing the dream with inner dream. Dogen talks about expression a lot, that we express Buddha by sitting Zazen. When you're sitting Zazen, so for people who just did this for the first time this morning, congratulations. And are sitting upright, facing the wall and facing ourselves, we do this as a way of painting Buddha. So there's a Buddha in front of the meditation hall, and we are all expressing Buddha in this body-mind, in our own body-mind, when we do that. So Zazen is a performance art. We're performing Buddha in our body-mind. And nobody can tell you how to be Buddha. This is something you need to discover yourself. Of course, there are all these teaching stories and talks and about them to encourage us. But we need to find our way of expressing Buddha. And Dogen talks a lot about expression. So in the essay that I mentioned about expressing the dream within a dream, usually, even in Buddhism, the idea of awakening is to awaken from a dream. This is all a dream, we need to wake up. But actually, Dogen says that we should express the dream within the dream. And here he's saying we should paint rice cakes within this painting of rice cakes that we each is and that all things is. So that's a summary of, or some of the main points of this essay that I talked about for 2.5 hours yesterday. I want to go back, as I said, the introduction to this long essay is like, for those of you who know the koan collections, like the Book of Serenity or the Blue Cliff Record, there's usually a little introduction or pointer, which doesn't have obvious connection to the actual story, but it has something to say about something. And so I want to talk the rest of the time, and we have limited time now, about the introduction to this painting of rice cake essay by Dogen. So I'll read some of it and talk about what it's saying and where it comes from and how Huayan Buddhism is the background of all of East Asian Buddhism, whether it's Pure Land or Zen or Vajrayana or whatever. So very much very important in our Soto Zen tradition. So just to read a little bit of this introduction, all Buddhas are realization. Thus, all things are realization. This is the first sentence of this long essay. Although there are no identical characteristics or minds, at the moment of your actualization, numerous actualizations manifest without hindrance, without obstruction. So he's saying here there's no identical characteristics or minds between things, between people, between dogs and dogs and cats and trees and trees. There's no, we're not all the same. This goes back, so this is a context of the basic philosophy of Soto Zen, which comes from the branch of Chinese Buddhism called Huayan, in Japanese it's Keigon, goes back to the Flower Ornament Sutra, the Avatamsaka Sutra, which we have been reading for 3 years once a month, first Friday evening of the month online, and everyone's welcome to come to that, 7 o'clock, first Friday evening of the month. It's a long, long sutra filled with all kinds of psychedelic expressions of the activities of awakening and of bodhisattvas. And that teaching is actually the core teaching of Buddhism. I'll just read a little bit more, and then I want to talk more about that. Of all of East Asian Buddhism, I should say. At the moment of your manifestation, numerous manifestations come forth without touching one another. This is the straightforward teaching of the ancestors. One of our main chants is called the Harmony of Difference and Sameness by an old teacher from the 700s named Shuto, who's in our tradition. And it talks about oneness or wholeness or the universal and the aspect of reality that is differentiation, discrimination, in the phenomenal world, and each of the particular things, and each of us as particular beings in the world. So this is the philosophical underpinning of actually all of East Asian Buddhism, but particularly in Soto Zen. I don't know if I have time to go into the Huayan Fourfold Dharma Dhatu, which is the background of this, the Soto Zen five positions or degrees, but this is about how we're deeply interconnected. So another image from Huayan and from the Flower Ornament Sutra is Indra's net, that many people have heard of. Indra's net means that it is an image of reality in which the whole of reality is a net, and in each place where the meshes meet, there's a jewel. And each jewel reflects the light in the jewels around it, and those reflect the light in the jewels around them forever. In space and time. And recently I was reading something about how the network, as opposed to the jewels, are important. Anyway, this is a metaphor, to put it that way, of reality, that we're all deeply interconnected. And Zazen kind of helps us see this. So as you're sitting on your seat, uprightly, enjoying your inhale and exhale, facing the wall, facing yourself, many beings are there on your seat. So one of the ways I indicate this, how many of you can remember your fourth grade teacher? Most people raised your hand. How many of you who raised your hand have thought of your fourth grade teacher in the last month? One person, two people, okay, three people, okay. But many people, not just people, many childhood friends, childhood pets, people you met at a party a month ago and have forgotten, lots of beings, of course, family members, former lovers, whatever, are part of what you is sitting on your seat right now. So reality is that we are deeply interconnected. And this is put together in Huayan in this fourfold Dharma Dhatu. Okay, I will say a little bit about that. Dogen says it here, reaching awakening does not limit one thing. It does not make one thing separate. It does not make one thing not separate. So each of us is a particular being. Each object. This is a particular teacup. I think there are probably in the kitchen other teacups that look like it, maybe, but they're not this one. And it has water that's delicious. And each particular teacup, each particular object, each particular dog or cat or bird or fish or mountain or lake is particular. But just as we are products of our fourth grade teachers, all things are connected with all other things at the same time. And so in the YN system, there's a fourfold system of particular in the universal, the universal in the particular, the non-obstruction of the universal in the particular. So we say sometimes form is emptiness, emptiness is form. There's no emptiness or non-separation aside from forms, and forms are empty of separate identity because we are all connected, and because many beings are what is on your seat right now. So, and then the fourth Dharmadhatu in this flower ornament YN system is that there's no obstruction between particular things and other particular things, which is really interesting and helpful in terms of thinking about how do we relate to the suffering of the world, which is the point. How do we respond appropriately to all the difficulties in our own lives and in the lives of the people around us and our family and friends and in our society? Things do not obstruct each other. That we are connected. Everything is connected. And we can talk about this in time as well as space in terms of history and, you know, history of slavery and racism in our country is very much part of what's going on in our country now and so forth. So that's the Huayan system. And my teacher, Tenshin Anderson Roshi from the San Francisco Zen Center, has said that the sixth ancestor of the Huayan school, which had five formal ancestors back in the 700s and 600s, the sixth ancestor is Dongshan, Tozan in Japanese, who was the founder of the Chinese branch of Soto Zen called Zaodong. So again, there will not be a test, but Dongshan wrote the Song of the Jewel Mare Samadhi, which we chant here sometimes, or it's in our chant book anyway, and this is a foundational teaching of all of Soto Zen. And Reb says, Tenshin Anderson says that the sixth ancestor in the Huayan school is Dongshan, who's the founder of our lineage in China. my friend Stephen Hine, who's one of the foremost scholars of Dogen academically, has agreed with that and told me that there was a recent conference of academic scholars of East Asian Buddhism from all these different schools, Pure Land and Vajrayana and Soto Zen and Rinzai Zen, and they all finally agreed that this Huayan teaching of this interconnectedness is embedded in all of East Asian Buddhism. And Dongshan put together a teaching called the Five Positions or Five Degrees, sometimes called the Five Ranks, which is very important as the background of Soto Zen. But I have to say that Dogen talks about these systems and he says, do not use the measure of oneness or difference or of the universal and the particular as the criterion of your study. So Dogen doesn't talk about explicitly about this system of 5 degrees, which is foundational in Soto Zen. He says to reach one thing is to reach myriad things, but you know, that's that teaching of five ranks, 5 degrees, 5 positions is very tempting, and it's a kind of system that is very helpful. But and it's been studied intensively in China and Japan by Soto people. But forget about it. The point is that the universal reality, the ultimate reality, which we glimpse in Zazen, or sometimes have some deep experience of, and the particulars of the phenomenal world, people and trees and lakes and mountains and birds and fish and so forth, there's a way in which they integrate or they are interrelated with each other. It's not they become one, but anyway, so that's a brief summary of what I talked about yesterday at much more length. The point is to be aware that the ultimate universal reality, reality of a painted rice cake or painting a rice cake, is not separate from each of the particular phenomenal events in the world and each of the particular phenomenal events on all of our seats in this meditation hall. So there's a little bit of time for comments or questions or discussion before we have tea.
Well, thank you, Teigen, for such an expansive talk. I think 3 hours of seminar is probably laid upon us. And, you know, I thought this connection actually between painting of a rice cake and expressing the dream within a dream, I never thought of that before, but I think it's really great. We're going to have tea right after this seminar, so we'll have our work period after tea, so we can clean up tea, but this will give us time to talk less formally with Teigen. But please, Bodhisattvas, bring forth your paintings and your dreams in response to Teigen's wonderful exposition of this great teaching.
And also new or newish people, please feel free to ask. There's no such thing in Zen as a stupid question. But if you have basic questions, that's...
Some response I have was that this also is about compassion.
Of course.
That the painting, sometimes we think our painting isn't any good. Think we paint ugly pictures, or what's going on in our hearts and minds is somehow deficient. And this really speaks to the wholeness and beauty of our experience. So, you know, although I didn't hear that compassion word, I think that it is strong in this. The other reaction I had is, for the past several days, I've been going down a rabbit hole of looking at paintings, at scrolls from Song Dynasty China.
Cool.
And one of the things that I was just really moved by was these paintings were expressions, and they often had verses that were commentaries that were expressing their realization of practice. And then there's some, you know, and to us they look kind of weird, right? Like these, you know, black ink just kind of done in these kind of weird forms. I mean, nothing in here, maybe this is, you know, too beautiful. And that scroll is very beautiful, but some of these have these gnarly looks. And then these like wonderful commentaries that express. And so I think about us, like our practices, our zazen is this great expression and creative expression. So I don't know, maybe I was in rice cake mode lately. So
Good. Anyway,
that's just a response from me. I'd love to hear, and I'm sure Teigen would love to hear any responses to any of you online. I think David Ray will help us as well. Eve, did you have something to say?
I don't know. I mean, I was thinking about expression. I mean, I guess the word that came to my head was representation, more or less. The same thing that, and I guess what struck me was this equation of, you know, the idea of representation, of something that represents something else with, you know, what we usually think of as separate, which is a, you know, relationship of the particular to the general, right? So that I'm, you know, a particular person, but I'm also, in a sense, a representation of all the relationships, that all the mirror jewels, etc., that, you know, that I'm part of.
Yes. And the word representation, I'll come back to, but manifestation is a word that's sometimes used, or actualization. Mm-hmm. So Eve is Eve, and Eve is also a manifestation of everything that's not Eve. And everything and everybody that has come together to allow Eve to be sitting in front of me. So, yeah, it's intricate and complicated, and we can't get to the bottom of it. There's one of the parts of this is that to recognize the limitation, and Dogen in Zen talks about this a lot, the limitation of our human capacities to, Dogen talks in one of his essays, Genjo Koan, actualizing the fundamental point about how different beings see things differently. We each have our own perspective or our own way of painting. So, you know, this wonderful Lake Michigan nearby, fish see it one way, humans see it another way, a hungry ghost see it yet another way, dragons see it another way, birds. So to recognize that our consciousness is limited is part of this, but you're talking about landscapes and representation, and I mentioned yesterday, because we got into talking about art and poetry a little bit, and this I recommend there's a wonderful two-part, each is 2 hours, documentary that's on PBS now, has been recently, about Leonardo da Vinci, who I hadn't known so much about, actually, but he's the first, they say he's the first Westerner to actually do landscape painting. And he didn't, in his art, and Mona Lisa is kind of the culmination of it, but his art is not just to represent something out there, but is expresses light and dark and emotions and so forth. So, each of us is expressing Buddha in a particular way. So, yeah, thank you, Eve. Other comments online or in the room? Questions?
Sorry, buddy, Sasha.
Thank you, Dogen.
Hi, Helen.
I appreciated hearing this because it made a lot of connections for me with other Dogen that I hadn't heard yet, like the dream within the dream. And there are two specific things that popped up for me, but I'll preface it by saying that, you know, I remember reading this fascicle like early on in practice and go, what the hell is this? This is nonsense. I'm just not going to read this again.
Okay.
And foolishly, I've read it again, but it didn't make any sense to me because I was like so sure that, like, oh, well, yeah, you don't get rid of all this extra stuff. That stuff is extraneous. You don't need it. It's like, get to the real thing. Then we'll really find out what's going on.
really
get it. Mm-hmm. And over the years, I've like developed such an appreciation for Dogen because Dogen is so much about like, there's no final here. There's more. We're not done yet.
Right.
Sort of quality to him. And hearing this reminded me of two things from Dogen. One, which is the, I always forget who's who, but I think it's Matsu and Nanyue.
Polishing
the mirror.
Polishing the tile, yes. That's another good example that was mentioned yesterday.
Where the original story is like, student is sitting and teacher comes along and says, what the hell are you doing? I'm paraphrasing. Like, what the hell are you doing? It's like, I'm sitting. I want to become a Buddha. And it's like, picks up a tile, starts polishing it. Student asks the teacher, like, what the hell are you doing? Well, I'm polishing to make this a mirror. Oh, you can make that a mirror. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing sitting then? You can't become a Buddha just by sitting.
Right.
But Dogen then turns it on his head, saying, no, that is how you become a Buddha.
We need to polish a tile to make mirrors, yes.
and then also from, I think, Genjo Koan, when the Dharma has not filled body and mind, you think it's sufficient. And when it finally does, something is missing.
Yes.
But there's always something more, that there's always going to be more representation, like others representing you, you representing yourself. You're like, it is not done. And there's something about like doing the practice, sitting on the cushion, watching it come up over and over again incessantly, that sort of opens you up to that fluidity time and time again.
Yes. And a phrase that Dogen uses quite often, much more than he talks about just sitting, he talks about Buddha going beyond Buddha. So Buddha is not something that, you know, you have some fancy experience or some deep understanding and then you're Buddha and then you're finished. The Shakyamuni Buddha, the historical Buddha 2,500 years ago in northeastern India or Nepal, he became the Buddha. He was thoroughly awakened, but he continued practicing and he continued awakening every day, the rest of his 40 plus years. So, part of this practice is we continue to awaken in each situation. after each election. And each with each person we meet, we awaken to what we is in ourselves and everything. And our, each of us in our particularity is particular and a separate, different way of expressing Buddha, and Dogen emphasizes expression, but also we're all connected. So there's this universal reality and the particular reality. So thank you, Hal. Anybody online, I can talk to some of the people in the room over tea, but if there's anybody online who has comments. Okay. Anybody in the room? David Ray.
Taigen, a thing in this morning's version hit me and touched me that I heard but didn't hear yesterday. And it comes back to compassion, that the words "a painting of a rice cake does not satisfy hunger" means, it means I messed up my life. It means I couldn't answer my teacher, and looking at my whole life, I say, wow, I blew it. I should just, you know, I should just serve food and forget it, because everything I wrote, everything I did is all wrong.
And all those books, I'm thinking, you gotta burn.
I gotta burn my books. And I'm thinking of Dogen's other saying, my whole life has been one continuous mistake. And And Suzuki Roshi says, my mind is a garbage heap. Yeah. And that is, and Dogen is saying, no, that is practice. That's not an obstruction to practice. That's not practicing. That is the practice right there. That is life right there.
And that is compassion. So Shangyan, after burning his books because he realized that he wasn't going to become himself just by reading books, although reading books can encourage us, he started serving food. This was an act of kindness, and he was sweeping and taking care of the National Teachers Memorial. Mm-hmm. So how do we express the fullness? So part of this is that we do recognize the fullness in each of us and each other of the whole universe. And then the response to that is, well, how do we share kindness? So yes, thank you for mentioning compassion.
And then he says too, you know, I can't solve this problem on my own, right? Like, mm-hmm. which really resonates with me in the particular moment, right? Like, and that's like his awakening is that he can't do this, you know, whatever problem is in front of him, it's not something he can solve on his own. So that's something, you know, that feels simple but profound that I can, you know, take away from this.
Yeah. Yes, so that's why we're here together.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So this is also a teaching about Sangha as well as compassion. Sangha is community, and we practice together in community. We sit inhaling and exhaling and inhaling the exhales of the person next to us or whatever. We're all connected. We're each particular and individual, and we're all totally, deeply, deeply connected. And Sangha community, Dharma community, awakening community is about that. How do we share this reality and this investigation and this painting of rice cakes and a painting of ourselves and each other? So
I think about this in modern times right now. And, you know, there's a real resistance to fluidity. Yeah. In our human architecture, we want to categorize and make things into binaries. This is how our mind works.
Yep.
And, you know, if Dogen was speaking today, I'd be interested in sort of what images might be used or what realities that we're in now. Because, you know, I feel like we're sort of like, I don't know, 2.0 or 3.0 past Dogen in our culture, where, you know, we're really at this point of maximal division, but also right at that way, there's this gate into openness and fluidity along so many lines. And So I hear this in this teaching too, that, you know, there's, whenever we try to hold on to something and try to make it anybody or anything into a thing, objectify, that this is a sort of radical refutation of that, an encouragement to open to everything in ourselves and others.
We are interconnected, yes. And part of what you're saying is important, that we see that this is a living tradition. So we talk about Buddha, who lived 2,500 years ago, and Shangyan died in the 800s, and Dongshan and Dogen in the 1200s, and Suki Roshi, 1971. So we look at, we have this wonderful opportunity to look at the fullness of time by seeing our ancestors on many levels, not just our Zen or Buddhist ancestors, but cultural ancestors. You know, I mentioned Leonardo, but there's many others. And ancestors who worked for liberation and for tolerance and freedom and going beyond hate and so forth. Our history is full of them. But this is a living tradition. Buddhism is alive. This practice is alive because of each of us, each of you, each person. So we make it our own, and we express it in different ways. But all these, you know, Dogen is alive also. And you know, the idea of the Bodhisattva is that we practice to help liberate all beings, to help awaken all beings, including ourselves. You know, one of the teachings about Bodhisattvas today that I like is that, you know, in the Flower Ornament Sutra, the Huayan Sutra, and in many other scriptures in Buddhism and many other teachings, there are depictions of Buddhas and Bodhisattvas like there, who from many different world systems. So this could be from many different galaxies. In the Huayan's Avatamsaka Sutra, they say that on the tip of every blade of grass, on the tip of every staff, in each atom, there are innumerable Buddhas with Bodhisattvas gathered around them. So this reality is everywhere. But they say that in this world, in those sutras, is called the world of endurance, the Saha world in Sanskrit. And Bodhisattvas from all these different dimensions are now lined up waiting to be born here and now. Because amid the difficulties of our world, this is the greatest place to practice. We can make the most difference in expressing kindness and caring and compassion and insight and an awakening. So this is a wonderful opportunity amidst the difficulties of our society now for us to practice and express kindness. And it's going to be difficult for a while. And that's a wonderful opportunity for us. Each thing that you do, that each of us does to express caring and kindness can make a big difference right now. So I'll just say that. And I don't know if anybody online has anything to say, or if we can talk more.
Time for the vows.
Okay, so we'll do the four Bodhisattva vows.
Beings are numberless, we vow to free them. Delusions are inexhaustible, we vow to cut through them. Karma gates are boundless, we vow to enter them. The Buddha's way is unsurpassable. We vow to realize it. Beings are numberless. We vow to free them. Delusions are inexhaustible. how to cut through them. Dharma gates are boundless. We bow to enter them. Buddha's way is unsurpassable. We bow to realize it. Beings are numberless. We bow to free them. Delusions are inexhaustible. We bow to cut through them. Dharma gates are boundless. We bow to enter them. Buddha's way is unsurpassable. We bow to realize it.